It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. The destruction of the Amazon basin rainforest in South America is well known here in the United States, but few people are aware that the world's second largest rainforest, the Congo Basin in Africa, is in as much or even more trouble. Now there is a ray of hope for this corner of the world. Just this year, and for the first time, a major logging company in the Congo Basin met the world's toughest standards for environmental responsibility. By the end of the year, a half dozen companies in the Congo Basin could win this certification as well. Eric Whitney reports from Cameroon, West Africa.
From the side of a red clay road in Cameroon's southeast province, the lush, humid, dark green rainforest seems to go on forever. And so do the logging trucks. Every day, dozens of huge 18-wheelers haul load after load of raw logs and cut timber to the Atlantic port at Douala. Most of the trucks carry 3 to 5 logs, but every now and then you'll see a single huge tree trunk taking up all of a truck's capacity. This has been going on for at least 4 decades in the Congo Basin, and until very recently, there was little to no control over how much timber was harvested. Corrupt governments, civil wars, and consumer ignorance combined to exploit some 80% of the forest with little regard for the future. It's only in the last decade that things have begun to change, says Susan Minnemeyer of the Global Resources Institute in Washington, D.C.
A lot of this is driven by discussions by the EU about banning wood imports from countries that participate in illegal logging. So companies that operate in Central Africa are under a lot of pressure first to prove that the wood that they produce is produced legally, and then beyond that to show that it's done in an environmentally sustainable manner.
The EU is, of course, the European Union, where about half of the big logs are headed. The other half go to Asia, where there is significantly less pressure for sustainably harvested wood. But the European market is big enough to get the attention of some of the region's largest logging companies. Many of the companies operating in the Congo Basin are European-owned. This Belgian-owned sawmill is a huge industrial presence, carved out of the towering trees. Stacks of raw logs 30 feet high sit on the bare ground, awaiting transformation into planks and beams. Jules Esquil is a manager here. He says his company, Groupe de Corvenir, has always practiced sustainable forestry.
Qu'est-ce que nous avons changé par rapport à la période où on ne parlait pas de FSC? Nous n'avons rien changé.
There haven't been any changes in the way we exploit the forest. There haven't been any changes in our relationship with the local populations. The only thing we didn't do for 30 years was to keep records. That's the only thing we're missing. Proof!
Because European consumers and governments increasingly want proof that the wood they buy comes from green sources, De Colvenair launched an expensive multi-year effort to have its operations certified as sustainable by the Forest Stewardship Council, or FSC, a global nonprofit group.
FSC a tout. A tout. C'est le plus difficile.
FSC has it all. All. It's the most difficult, the most expensive. It has all the inconveniences that are there. It's really the highest level there is. The advantage they have is they're recognized worldwide.
C'est qu'ils sont reconnus mondialement.
Should it win FSC certification, De Colvenair would be only the second logging company in the Congo Basin region to do so. But about half a dozen others are in line, opening up their operations to independent observers who study and evaluate each company's environmental and social impacts. Still, most logging in Cameroon and the Congo Basin happens with little to no independent oversight. Not far from the De Colvenair sawmill, the small town of Yakaduma is a bright, busy clearing in a sea of trees. Motorcycle taxis zip around dirt streets between rows of shacks made of rough-cut lumber. Electricity and running water are spotty. The government's representative here, Jean-Paul Ongba, has few resources to monitor logging operations in the surrounding forest.
Ce n'est peut-être pas tous les moyens qu'il faut, mais pour le moment, Nous tendons vers vraiment...
Our government doesn't claim to be able to do 100% verification, but we are gradually working towards this goal.
Still, Ongba says, Cameroon takes seriously its responsibility to safeguard healthy, productive forests and to protect wildlife habitat. The Congo Basin is home to about 50% of Africa's wildlife and some 10,000 plants, about 3,000 of them found only here.
C'est donc dans ce cadre. Pour les besoins de gestion durable.
Government is looking ahead to the future and thinking of the future, because if we allow anarchy to reign, there will be poaching, illegal logging, and future generations would no longer have this forest, nor would they have the animals around with them. Experience has shown that where there has not been any such policy in place, there's been total anarchy, and forests have disappeared in little time.
Cameroon is generally regarded as being the most advanced in the Congo Basin in terms of regulating and monitoring logging. In 1996, the leaders of half a dozen Congo Basin countries met here for a rainforest summit, partially to satisfy World Bank requirements for better governance. All the countries now have more stringent rules on logging. In 1999, the countries mapped out 15 new national parks and reserves, totaling more than 17,000 square miles, an area about the size of Maryland and Connecticut combined. But paper parks are one thing. Enforcing their protected status is another. This spring, under a blazing tropical sun on Yakaduma's bare dirt town square, 23 new eco-guards celebrated their graduation. The men and one woman are paid by the World Wildlife Fund. They patrol the country's national parks and other forest areas, keeping an eye out for illegal activities. One of their biggest challenges after receiving their diplomas will be reducing the amount of poaching, both inside and outside the parks. Every year, new logging roads push into previously inaccessible areas, making it easy for poachers to get in, kill animals, and ship them quickly to major cities, where so-called bushmeat fetches high prices.
I must say, the work of an eco-guard has a lot of risk.
Young, fit, and thoughtful, Michel Bonaventure graduated with the first class of Cameroon's eco-guards in 2000.
Premièrement, vous savez que nous travaillons d'abord les mains vides, nous n'avons pas des armes.
We have to arrest those who are well-armed with automatic firearms, and in spite of that, we still manage to arrest them by being careful in the way we approach them.
This newly graduated class of eco-guards doubles the number in Cameroon to 46. They patrol a thickly wooded area slightly larger than Arizona with few guns or vehicles. Cameroon welcomes World Wildlife Fund's help in paying and outfitting the guards. It hopes to take over paying their salaries in a few years, but a major currency devaluation in the early 1990s makes it tough for the government to meet even basic needs. Tough financial times also push people out of the cities and into the forest to make a living. Desiree Dantego Kafak came here from the city of Douala, on the other side of the country. He used to make his living as a poacher.
When I came down from the west to the southeast of Cameroon, with a friend of my father who was a truck driver, then I realized that there were a lot of elephants around the area when we were passing on the way. So I told him that the next trip you're coming down, I will take along my rifle and I will be doing some poaching. I smoke the meat and we take it to Douala so that I can sell and get some money.
Desiree used to kill 2 to 3 elephants a week. He says it was the only job he could find. And animals seemed plentiful in the forest.
I wasn't concerned about that. I wasn't concerned. I thought there were many elephants in the forest. I can kill as many as I can to make my living.
But then he met an American conservationist who explained that elephants and other animals were quickly disappearing and that the forest, as local people knew it, was on the verge of collapse.
When he made me understand this and he was explaining many advantages that people can get from elephants, I mean, I was really like having a storm. So that's one of the reasons I said, okay, I'm going to give up this thing, not more hunting. And he said, okay, he's going to see how he can get an alternative thing for me to be having some money, even the money's not much.
Desiree now works for World Wildlife Fund as a field assistant. He's one of a handful of local people now making a living in conservation here. Inside Lobeki National Park, bird life flourishes. Gray parrots fly in flocks by the hundred. Prehistoric-looking hornbills are common. And controls on poaching mean that numbers of other species, like gorilla and elephant, are rebounding as well. That means tourists are more likely to make the long trek to Cameroon's remote new parks.
C'est bon parce que quand les touristes viennent comme ça là, ils partent voir les animaux, c'est très bon pour moi.
It's surprising that people come from so far just to watch animals and go back, but it provides me with the opportunity to work.
Petit Jean is one of a couple of dozen local people who now make a little cash guiding tourists and carrying their supplies into the new parks. The relatively large populations of elephants and lowland gorillas that draw tourists here mean that it's not safe or legal to enter the parks without guides. At first, local people were skeptical about the new parks, which are off-limits to hunting, agriculture, and settlement. But now, Petit Jean says, people understand the park's role in maintaining a healthy ecosystem.
Parce que là, si les animaux seraient beaucoup, ils seraient toujours...
I think the creation of the parks is a good thing in terms of conserving animals, because if the number of animals in the parks becomes high, it means these animals will not only remain in the park, but can come closer to our homes. And if we need some animals for food, we won't need to go far. It makes life easier for us.
Beyond this still very fledgling ecotourism trade, Cameroon is trying to share the benefits of conservation with local people more fairly, so more people have a stake in preserving the forests for future generations.
This is the bureau du trésorier. Here would be the office of the treasurer. The treasurer qui sera ici.
Ea de la Mille shows off a new building that's being constructed with money from a new conservation initiative. It lets local people decide how to manage some of the forest in the area. Some communities keep their forests closed to all but subsistence hunting. Others lease them to guides, who charge foreigners big money for sports hunting. The local committees get a cut and invest in projects they prioritize, like clean water, schools, or health clinics. De la Mille manages one of the local committees.
En fait, nous faisons des efforts pour impliquer.
One of the things we do in managing wildlife is sensitizing the local people. We have to make them understand that if the animals are no longer here, no sports hunter will come to get the area on lease, and we won't have any income.
Sports hunters take far fewer animals than poachers, who generally kill as much as they can to supply city markets with bushmeat. De la Mille says this gives local people incentive to help the small number of eco-guards in Cameroon.
Nous nous associons avec le poste forestier pour faire des descentes.
Our people serve as informants. We give information to the head of the forestry post, who manages a group of eco-guards. So when we provide him with information about the presence of poachers in a particular area, he takes action.
Back in Yakaduma, the town surrounded by the rainforest in Cameroon, Youth Day is celebrated every spring. All the local school children put on their uniforms and parade through town, marching toward the future. The odds are increasing that this generation will still have some rainforest left to benefit from in the future. The governments of Cameroon and other countries in the Congo Basin are trying to balance pressure to sell off the forests with the benefit of protecting it. The carrots and sticks being offered by governments and consumers in Europe are having a positive impact. But environmentalists say that until Asia starts demanding sustainably harvested wood, the forest will yield more money the old-fashioned way, cutting it down. For Living on Earth, I'm Eric Whitney in Yakaduma, Cameroon.